Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, I'll read verse 19 and 20, and then keep your Bible handy because we're going to look up a couple other verses to begin with, and then we'll flip to some more during the message. But we read here in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 19, he says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Turn, if you would, just a few pages to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And the Bible says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Let's read it one more time. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. This one is very familiar, I think, to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If you would, let's pray together. Our Father, we are very thankful. And yet, Lord, I think I would want to say we're not as thankful as we ought to be. Because truly we have, you're so good to us, Lord. You have blessed us beyond what we could even begin to thank you for. And we want to be more thankful. And I pray today that as we consider not only the fact that we have this holiday in our calendar, but Lord, we have your word that exhorts us again and again that we should be a thankful people. And Lord, if anyone on the face of the earth ought to be thankful, it's certainly the believer. With all the spiritual blessings, on top of all the wonderful things you give us in this life. And Lord, I think, Father, we above all other people, we can be thankful in all things. Because even when things are not going in a way that's pleasant to us, we still have a great hope and a wonderful confidence in you. And Lord, we have, even in those times, we're still blessed beyond measure. And so, Father, would you help us today and stir in our hearts a thanksgiving that would not only be on our lips, though we want to speak the praises of God, but that it also affect how we live and just our whole life, our attitudes and our, Lord, our hearts. Please have your way and, Lord, use this time to work in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I said this was a different message in the sense that I don't have an outline at all today. That's unusual for me. I just want to talk to you for a little while about this thought of thanksgiving. Having a thankful spirit and giving thanks, those are kind of two different things, but they go hand in hand. Having a thankful spirit and giving thanks is something that is it's a common trait, a common theme that we find in the scriptures. We've looked at just a few verses of others, there are many among many that tell us that we ought to be thankful. And it's a common trait, it's a common theme in the Bible. It's a common characteristic of people we read about in the Bible who are godly examples, like Paul the Apostle or others. And it ought to be a common trait of every believer, is we ought to be people who are thankful, right? I find it kind of, disheartening maybe is the word I think about when I think sometimes I I've been around some Christians, not particularly any around here, but that you know, I watch them sit down and eat a meal and never give thanks. And I think that just, you know, it seems foreign to me that could be ever, you know, a case with a Christian. But we ought to be continually and always thankful. Now, granted, it's not a trait that is common in our society. And I think I can say, you know, I sound like an old man when I say these things, but I think we can say that it seems more and more as we go along, the less gratitude we find in our society in Canada. As I kind of thought about that, I thought it seems to me that there's a lot of complaining, a lot of griping, a lot of moaning. And, you know, of course, we're in this political time, elections and so on, and it almost like ramps up, you know, where it's as though if you have you want something from the government or you want something in your life, the more you complain, the more likely you are to get it, right? And that's the mentality in our world, is that you want to come across as though you are being neglected, you are being hard done by. And the more you complain, the more you make the case that you deserve better, the mentality is the more you will get the attention. You certainly don't want to act grateful, or certainly don't want to pretend to be content with what you have, or else you'll get ignored. That's sort of the idea behind a lot of what we see in the, especially in the political world, but in our society. And what it has resulted in is a generation of very unthankful, unappreciative people. Is that a fair statement? Do you think that's true? And what's worse is that I find it rubs off on Christians sometimes. And if we're not careful, this complaining spirit of ingratitude can, as I say, rub off on us. It can affect us. And so we read that we are to give thanks always. We are to give thanks in everything. And you're well aware of the fact that you know, the Bible says that we are to give thanks in everything, meaning in the times when, you know, basically means in every circumstance, in every situation, when things are going well, when there's an abundance of blessings, we need to be thankful then. And sadly, even in those times, sometimes we take so much for granted. We're not careful to give God thanks in those times. But then, not only in the times of abundance, not only in times of blessing and you know, when things are going well, but also to be thankful in every season, in every time. And that means when things aren't, when things are not as we would have them, we don't have on hand what we feel like we want. And yet, God says, in everything, give thanks. There's nothing in this life that ought to be able to rob us of being thankful. Isn't that true? No circumstance, no situation, nothing happens in this world that should steal our ability to give God thanks. Has there anything robbed you of your thankful heart, of your thankful spirit? An attitude. Now, and of course, if it has, then you're out of the will of God. We see that from the scripture we just read in Thessalonians, right? He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I want you to think with me about that thought for a moment. It's stated as a command, really, where we're commanded to give thanks. You know, he says that this is the will of God, It's what God wants you to do is to be thankful, to give thanks in everything. So that means if we do not do that, then we're out of the will of God and we're disobedient to the command. Is that right? So it is stated as a command. We are commanded to give thanks in everything. And you know, we sometimes I think we need to be commanded or, you know, exhorted, told to give thanks. But why did God command it? Why is it God's will? Well, there's two things that jump into my mind right away when I ask that question. Number one, because it's right. You know, it's the right thing to do. And always when we talk about God's will, what God's will is, it's right. Okay? And just thinking about that thought just for a moment, let me inject something. Whenever we see something that God's will, according to the Bible, what God commands, is in conflict with what the world says, and often that's the case, more and more and more all the time, what God says is right and what the world says is right, many times are complete opposite. Whether it be moral issues like marriage and sexuality, those kind of issues. What the world says and what God says are not, they don't line up. Gender identity, those kind of issues that we deal with today. A lot of that is, you know, what the world is saying, what the world is promoting, is actually in direct opposition to what God's Word says. When it comes to even issues of stealing, lying, use of alcohol or drugs and marijuana, these kind of things. What does God's Word say? What does the world say? And they don't line up. They're not in. They don't, you know, blend. Then our question is, who are we going to listen to? Who do we believe? Who do we side with? Now, I know you know the answer. The answer should be God, right? But how often do we maybe say, well, you know, We want to side with the world. And I want to remind you that when God commands us to do something, it's because it's right, and it's always right. And what makes it right is because that's what God says. God's the one that sets the standards. Where do you get your morality? Where do you get what is right and wrong? Do you get it from the world? Do you get it from your own conscience, your own heart? A lot of people do. But I think we must get it from the Word of God. Isn't that true? You can make the decision. You have to answer that for yourself. But I would say, like Joshua, as for me and my house, I'm going to side with God. I'm going to say, if this is what God says, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what even I might think, I'm going to trust that God knows what He's saying, and I believe He's right. So it's right to give thanks. That's something that's just proper to do. And that's why when your children are young, I know I use this example probably each time I think about it, but you know, when your kids are young, you say to them, and this is what my dad did with me, anytime somebody handed me something, anytime someone did something for us, anytime somebody gave us something, I remember so many times, because it took me a little while to learn it, my dad would kind of say, what do you say? Thank you. You know, but he'd have to nudge me. What do you say? And then it would remind me, oh, I'm to be thankful. And so there is that, and it's right. And so, boys and girls, when mom and dad does that, it's because they want you, because it's the right thing to do is to say thank you. Isn't it? Sure it is. But now, wait a minute, there's more. Not only does God command us these things, not only does God give us these things, but because it's right, but also because it's rewarding and it's good for you. It's not only the right thing for you to do, but it also helps you. Think with me just for a moment. all of God's commands. I went down in the junior Sunday school class, and I saw on the board the Ten Commandments there. And, the Ten Commandments, like, thou shalt not lie, bear false witness, to be dishonest. Why does God command that? Is it because God says, don't lie, because if you're lying, I'm not going to know what's true and what's not? Whether we tell the truth or not, God knows the truth, right? So His command is not really for His sake. His command is for our sake. Because if we're deceptive to one another, and because we don't know what's true, if somebody's deceiving us, if somebody's being dishonest with us, we want to take them at their word. We want to take for granted that they're telling us the truth. But we can be deceived. We could be harmed by not knowing what's true. So what I'm trying to say is this: that command is not for God's sake, it's for your sake that He gave you that command. And it's true with all of the commands. Thou shalt not commit adultery. When somebody commits adultery, does that harm God? Not necessarily, no. I mean, other than the fact that it's, breaks His command. But really, that's harmful to people. That's harmful to one another. Honoring your mother and father, that's a command, that's a principle. It's right to do, but it's good. It's society works well when we follow God's plan. And so what I'm saying is these things are helpful to us. Now, never is that more true with the command to be thankful. A thankful spirit is not only because we're blessed, a thankful spirit will bless you. Let me try to help you see that a little bit. Go to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read several verses, so just follow with me. And think about what this is saying, too, as I read. Don't just let your mind tune out. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. We'll start there. But we see here really a description of, I don't know what to call it. It's a horrible description of where humanity goes. And it says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debates, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's a horrifying list of the way man can go into a very corrupted situation. Do you understand that? I mean, he just names all of these corrupt and unholy and unrighteous and ungodly things. And you know, as they knew God, they didn't want to retain God, they didn't want to think about it, they didn't want to glorify Him as God, and God gave them over, and society just seemed to, you know, in those verses we see the downward slide of man. But it all started back at verse 21, basically, where he says, they knew God, but they wouldn't glorify Him as God, and neither were they thankful. You see, when we develop an unthankful heart that won't glorify God, won't praise Him, won't be thankful for Him, it's a poison to our person. It's a poison to society. When we, the more that we develop this ingratitude, this ungrateful society that we live in, it really is going to go in a direction that's going to be, who knows? I mean, when we take that kind of poisonous attitude into our lives, there's no telling where it can lead to, really. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, thankfulness is so important in our lives. It does help us. I mean, when we are unthankful, when we are ingrateful, really, it is a bad thing. I know when times when our family, as the children were growing up in our home, there were a couple times where I just stopped and I thought, there's something wrong here with the spirit in our house. I mean, we're just becoming complaining, griping, unthankful. You just feel that sort of that attitude that's there, and I thought, this can't continue. We got to change this. And so there were times when I had to really just stop and say, you know, to myself first of all, and say, I need to really model a thankful heart for one. And I started praying, and not only did I talk to the kids about it, because I didn't want to just come down and say, you bunch of complaining kids and you're not thankful, and you know, and that doesn't always go over well. Now, there was times when I did that, didn't I? But you know, sometimes it was just saying, how did we get here? How did we get to this place where it's just like complaining and griping, and there's so much, you know, of this going on. How did we get here? And as I examined it, sometimes I have to say, well, I'm part of the problem. And I need me first, and then Betsy, and let's try to turn this around, because this is only going to take us in a bad direction as a family. And you know, I don't want my children to grow up with this entitled attitude, this and complaining and never thankful and all of that, and because it really destroys lives. It really does. So I'm saying that God's rules are there not only because they're right, but they're good. They help us. And so this command to be thankful is so important for us. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 95. Psalms 95. An unthankful heart is a destructive force in the life of a society, in the life of a church, in the life of a family, and in the life of an individual. Wherever we see that, we need to root it out. In Psalm 95, verse 1, we find this invitation to worship, basically. He says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods." Oftentimes the Psalms invites us to come and praise the Lord, to worship the Lord. Oh, that we would praise the Lord and be thankful. And, you know, that's a wonderful invitation. It's something that we should heed. We should say, yes, you say, come. The Lord says, come and enter into my presence. You know, we've learned that memory verse. Jesus says, hitherto, this was our verse today, John 16:24. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. And then he gives them the invitation. Ask. Isn't that really a wonderful thought? It's the Lord saying, you know, I'm authorizing you to ask in my name. Wow. That's pretty special. The Lord says, up until now, hitherto, you've not asked in my name, but I want you to know you have the right as my child to do that. And so that's a wonderful invitation. We should take the Lord up on that. Ask that you know, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. It's an invitation to ask. It's an invitation to receive, and an invitation to find the joy that's there. And here he says, come and sing unto the Lord, and praise the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And we should say, wow, what a special invitation to come into the presence of the Lord. Now, we must come with, if we come into His presence, we're not going to come complaining. It's not like you go before the Prime Minister and gripe, hey, you know, we've been hard done. We don't have enough money. We don't have, you know, we need more, more, more. That's the way the world does. But it's hard to do that with the Lord, where you go, Lord, I don't have. You say, Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, He restoreth my soul, He leads me, He gives me so much. Lord, you've already been so good to me. What can I ask? Isn't it true? I mean, so many times, and the older you get, your kids say, what can I get you for Christmas? And you say, I don't know, I got everything. What do I need? You know, my barns are full. What could I possibly want? Don't you ever feel like that? Sure. And sometimes with the Lord, I do this. I'm just like, Lord, I know some others that need, you know, some help. I'll pray for them. But for me, I don't know. I don't need anything other than your grace and your Spirit to help me. But really, as far as materially, I don't have a want. And we need to be thankful. I said, you know, when the piano player is missing, or, you know, something that's you normally have, when it's gone, and all of a sudden you realize, that's a hole. We didn't, you know, you recognize something. And sometimes even the Lord may take some things away, and even then you can say, thank you, Lord, that now I see what I had was such a blessing, and it teaches me to be thankful, right? But he invited them to come and praise the Lord. But, you know, Israel didn't always do that. Look down at verse number 7 in this psalm. It says, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. And then he says this, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Think about that for a moment. The Lord says there, don't be like your fathers, who for 40 years long I was grieved. Now he's talking about the wilderness, right? Think about that for 40 years God said, I was grieved with you. because you hardened your heart and you provoked me. How did they do that? What really went on in the wilderness that provoked God? When you read that account in the Bible, now there was some idolatry. Remember, they made a golden calf and stuff like that. But most of it, I think, was two things. One was their unbelief, and the other was their ingratitude. That was what characterized Israel in the wilderness. They didn't trust God. They didn't believe. They kept saying, Lord, you brought us out here to kill us. You know, here we are in the desert and there's no water and there's nothing to eat. God, why did you do this? And then God gave them manna and God gave them water from a rock. But they complained and complained and complained. That's the story. And God says, I was grieved with them for 40 years. Because they were always complaining, always moaning, always griping, and never trusting me. It's just like the parent when you say, you know, my kids, no matter what I do for them, they just keep complaining. And you know how it feels, right? Well, that's the way God felt with the nation of Israel. Now, what I wonder is, does God feel that way with us? You know, is it ever this case where I would hate to think that the Lord would say, for years I've been grieved with you, because no matter how much I give you, you never really seem to understand and you're complaining. Well, I know I've been talking on this in a negative vein, but these are the things that grieve God's heart. In other words, they wouldn't glorify Him as God, and neither were they thankful. And we don't want to be guilty of that. So the sin of ingratitude is something that we must identify in our life and root it out. Now listen, just we're almost to the end here. We read this in Colossians. He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. I said a thankful heart will bless and help you, and it brings peace. It's hard to be, you know, it's like, what does he say in Philippians chapter 4? You know it. If you turn there, you can go there. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. And the word careful there is filled with care, you know, being anxious, worry. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what's he saying there? He's talking to people who are filled with care, with anxiety, with worry. They're you know, it's like, remember how he said to Martha, 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 thou art cumbered about with many cares. You know, she was just carrying this load around. And when she saw Mary sitting there worshiping Jesus, she's like, here I am carrying this big load, and Mary's sitting there doing nothing. You know, she got mad. And a lot of times we're like that. We're carrying this weight on us, you know. And God says, don't do that. How do you get rid of that load? You pray and be thankful. It's hard to be, you know, worrying and thankful at the same time, isn't it? Those two kind of cancel one another. If you come to the Lord and you're praying and you're starting to count your blessings, you start to think, what do I have to worry about? Right? God's done so much, and he's still on the throne, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why am I so worried? And so there's a peace that comes. There's a peace that thanksgiving can bring to your heart. He says, let the peace of God abide. And that's why in Ephesians he said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. There's a joy there. And giving thanks always. You know, that thankful spirit is key to the peace and the joy excuse me, that God wants in our lives. That's why he commands us to be thankful, because he really wants the joy and the peace and the what that thankful heart will bring to our lives. And so do you want peace in the storm? You want joy and blessing? Then cultivate a thankful heart. One last thought I wrote down before I finished my thoughts and my notes. And I said, not only are God's commands good for us, but even the trials we go through are good for us. And that's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In Peter, he says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Another scripture says we glory, and this is in Romans, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So when we learn to see ourselves, you know, in these times, we get perspective a lot of times. We talked about this on Thursday night. Paul, and we were studying Philippians, and in Philippians chapter 1, he says, I would have you to understand that, this isn't a perfect quote, but he says, the things that have fallen happened unto me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was in jail. And he was saying, this is really not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God's using this. More people are hearing the gospel because I'm in jail. He was able to preach to the people there at the jail. And others were being emboldened to preach. And he says in that chapter, he said, this is not, I know it looks bad. I know sometimes you think about it as a bad thing. But God is using this. And people are hearing the gospel through this. And so we can be thankful. We can rejoice. And that's what Paul said. He said the perspective is, and this is what I was thinking, that's why it came back to my mind, trials put things in perspective. And Paul's perspective was, yeah, I'm in jail, but there's a bigger picture here, and God's doing things, and that's really what's important. My being in jail right now is a minor thing. I can endure this. God is helping me and He's using me. And so when we go through trials, that's why we can give thanks in everything. Because when we go through these times, sometimes we go, I don't really know how this can be a good thing, but God, help me and show me. Because God can show you. First of all, you get yourself in perspective. You learn not to trust in yourself. And then you get God in perspective, that God is able to sustain, to deliver. And even, you know, we learn, I think sometimes in trials, I learn just how good God is. Because a lot of times the trials are my own doing. And I say, Lord, why do you put up with me? Have you ever said that? You ever thought that? Lord, I don't even know why you put up with me. But I'm sure glad you do. And how many times we've learned the patience of God, the mercy of God, when we're going through a low time and our spirit gets wrong and we're not thankful, but then we kind of arrest ourselves, we do a, you know, a check of ourselves, and we go, you know, I mean, sometimes I had to do it with Betsy. You know, I have to check myself and say, I don't know why Betsy puts up with me. But God knows a lot more even than Betsy does, and about my faults and failures. And I just learned how wonderfully patient God is, how merciful He is. And so in everything, if we can keep it in the perspective and keep a thankful heart, We learn the peace of God. So what I'm trying to say is this: if you're agitated and you're frustrated and you're complaining and all of those things, maybe you just need to sit down today and count your blessings, give your head a shake, think about how good God is, and you know God's still on the throne. And nothing that's happening out there is going to change the fact that God is still in control. And we could be thankful because we have an anchor, we have a peace, we have a rock, we have an assurance, and we have so much that God has blessed us with. And when you start to do that in your heart, then all those worries and things fade away, and the peace returns, and the joy comes. And then your family, your home life is a lot better. Because your kids will go, hey, Dad's in a good mood. And he's just thankful. And they need to learn that. There's so many things, but I hope that can be a help to you. Let's stand together.